Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
What's the appropriate age to teach children about consent? Ellen O'Malley Dunlop, who is a member of the Council of Europe's group of experts on action against violence against women and domestic violence, and also a young professor at the School of Law in UL, is with me here on the programme today. Ellen, what is the appropriate age for parents to sit their young children down and chat to them about consent?
Good afternoon, Andrea. I don't think it's a good idea to sit children down per se, particularly young children. I think consent is all about how you react with your child, you know, around, say, things like, for example, if granny comes around for a visit to the house, you're not going to say to your child, give granny a hug. It's all about stitching into your everyday interactions with your child that you respect their wishes and that you allow them to take decisions. And I think this is really important too for preschool, for example, children going to preschool and the preschool providers. I think it's a really important part of training for preschool providers and for primary school teachers also to have in their training programs that they are actually conscious of the meaning of consent and how giving consent freely, what that means. Because particularly with, as I say, preschool providers and also, well, parents, because we're in power positions with children, and we don't want for the child to feel that they're being made to do something, you know, like, for example, simple body touch, you know, like, so that's really, I think, important, that a child's personal space is respected and that their wishes are listened to.
Yeah, it's a good example that you give, Ellen. Sorry to cut across you. You know, you talk about granny and granddad, you know, and coming to the house.
Myself.
Yeah, and I know, and I know for a lot of maybe listeners today, they're thinking, well, what's wrong with granny and granddad, you know, giving the grandkids a hug? But what you're saying is that at 3 and 5 years of age, they should be introduced to the idea that they don't have to do this, that there's kind of some choice around it.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not being like rigid about it. You know, for example, like if a child is in your care, or like I'm minding one of my grandchildren, one of them falls, I'm not going to not pick them up and, you know, give them, be comforting to them. You know, I'm not talking about that. It's really about respecting the child's choice. And some, not always children, don't, you know, necessarily want to give you a hug or anybody a hug. And again, what this is doing, it's actually preparing the child, you know, for later life. And we're modelling for later life and ensuring that the child is building up their bodily autonomy, you know, that, and did you ask before touching? So those kinds of things, I think, are very important.
So it's so that it's not, as you know, a sit down formal conversation with mom and or dad at 12 and 13 years of age. Yeah. This is actually something that you're saying, Ellen, should be introduced from 3 to 5.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Very early on. And I mean, I think in terms of the older, you know, child, you obviously you're teaching children different things that are children who are 12 and 13. That's a different, you know, what you're talking to your child about then is different. Again, like, and with teenagers, you know, the education around sexuality that you're giving to them is different to what you're giving to the small child. And what I'm talking about the small child is, this is where I think, you know, preschool providers are such important people. And they're and I do think that they should be recognised as such and also paid accordingly. Because if they are, you know, the child is, these are the building blocks that the child has in relation to their interaction with others. And this is why I think in terms of training, it's so important to have this type of awareness, you know, instilled in the preschool provider and also primary school teachers.
Well, just when you say that, Ellen, stay with us if you can, because I want to bring in Ollie Sheehan. Ollie is the owner and director of Mary Geary Childcare. Ollie, the idea of talking or introducing preschool children to the topic of consent. How does that happen in creches across the country?
Okay, on a practical level, first of all, is that that the children have a legal right to have their voices heard. That is legally, that is something that's very, very important to consider. Then within a childcare setting, you have a thing called the ASHTA framework. So it's basically, it treats the children as learners who make their choices and express preferences on a daily basis, right? So, for example, what we do, and I'm not talking for all services, but very much what we do, and I compliment, your previous speaker there, that it will agree with just almost everything that has been said already, but is to empower the child from a very young age, right? So a child has, I'll give you two simple examples of it. One might be, one child turns around to another and does something or says something that's upsetting. Rather than a child turn around and run away or whatever, or maybe just pick up a toy and hit someone with it or something, you're encouraging that child to use their voice to express their feelings and being able to tell someone, say, for example, you hurt my feelings by what you said or by what you did. That's a very important thing. Then equally as well, that the child has the choice, and that's very much about ASHTA, where their choices lie in relation to what they do during the day, but also how they interact with adults, with their peers and whatever. And part of that interaction will be, depending on the situation, will be social contact, physical contact, because it might be through games they're playing together, whether they're might be, by the way, repairing a bicycle, they work as a team or whatever it might be. And that type of interaction, but also you teach the child, if someone is looking for, if someone, comes into a room and they, like you just said there about maybe grandparents or whatever, if a child is empowered to be able to say, look, I don't want to hug today, or I'm not feeling like I want to do that, that is a wonderful skill to relate to any child. Yeah. And that will carry on through their adult lives.
Well, funny you say that, because there's a text here, yeah, Ollie, from a listener who says, just, listening this afternoon, I always remember as a young child when you would have to hug relatives when visiting them, and I absolutely hated it. You never want young kids to feel uncomfortable, so they should be taught about this.
Absolutely, 100%. And giving them those skills from a very young age, right? And the ASHTA framework that we work off of from a government point of view, right? There is training involved in it. Unfortunately, from a childcare provider's point of view, there is no funding available. Like, for example, we're all familiar with in schools, you have in-service days where a school might close for a day and the teachers still come into work and they're paid to do that work. If we do this, we have to, from a provider's point of view, it's a major extra cost in getting that. And we would love for the government to address that issue and being able to say, okay, this is vitally, your previous figure, the most important time of child's learning is in the early years, it would be wonderful to have that support.
Lisa Brady is with us, Ollie, as well. Lisa's features editor and columnist with the Irish Daily Mail. Should young children be introduced to consent from preschool age, Lisa?
Hey, absolutely. I'm great, Andrea. And you know what? I just think this is such a powerful and important conversation to have, and especially preschool. And I think that's an important distinction to make, that, you're not sitting them down. I actually laughed at Ellen. It's like, there's no way you'd get a four-year-old sitting down, would you? But you're not teaching them about sex. You're teaching them about choice, respect, boundaries, bodily autonomy. There's so much there. And I do think, and as a mother of daughters, I have daughters who are 9 and 11, and, I think that, we don't just, children absorb messages, at such a young age. Mm-hmm. Who gets to be loud, who gets to lead, whose feelings matter, whether girls are supposed to be people pleasers, boys are allowed to dominate, whatever it may be. And I do think that, you can't just sit then and have these conversations about consent when they're in secondary school. And if there's, you know, work hasn't been done already, I think that's, you know, I think that's incredibly challenging, isn't it?
Well, it's extremely difficult, I suppose. How do you introduce a 13-year-old to the concept of consent if this is something they've, you know, has never been talked about, particularly in kind of today's day and age, maybe more so than when I went back when I was a teenager. But, you know, it is talked about so much more. So if you're in a vacuum where you've never heard about this and all of a sudden you're been introduced to it at 16.
And, you know, I'm just echoing the sentiments of what's been said already today. It's about empowering the child. You know, like we've all had those experiences. I grew up in the 80s and it's like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to tickle you or, you know, sit on your uncle's knee, whatever it may be. Do you know what I mean? That's and you kind of do it because it's like, oh, well, that's just, I'm a kid. I don't really have, you know, the expectation is that you kind of, you do as you're told sort of thing. But if you kind of bring that conversation along and look at, you know, what you're doing here by simply saying, okay, you have a choice. If you don't, would you like to hug granny? Would you like to be tickled? It's okay to say no, no matter what. It's okay to say, you know what, I'm not feeling comfortable with this. So I'm going to walk away and I'm going to say no. And it's from boys and girls that then boys absolutely hear that message that like, that's okay. If somebody says no, they mean no.
Quite a few people getting in touch about this today, and I have to say the vast majority very much think it's a good idea to kind of start the conversation about consent from the preschool age, as Ellen mentioned. But there's some texters, Ellen O'Malley Dunlop, who've got in touch, and maybe I'll just give you a flavour of some of their thoughts today as well, right? Mm-hmm. So they say, we were all forced to kiss, you know, Auntie Maggie and give Auntie Maggie a kiss. It didn't do us any harm. We're raring wimpy snowflakes. And you know what made that kiss or hug that we gave Auntie Maggie? It made her feel great too. I think it's a load of nonsense. Another listener got in touch again, on the same kind of sentiment, talking about the fact that, you know, like relatives and friends of family and young children being, you know, exposed to them and being asked to maybe show, I suppose, a level of kind of feeling towards them. What's wrong with it?
Well, it is about giving the child the autonomy, as Ali and as the previous speaker has been talking about. You can say to a child, you can give a high five or a hug, you know, give the child a choice. But I don't think it's about raising snowflakes. It's really so important because these are the foundations of relationships, foundations of respect, foundations of for the young person, for the child themselves, that they have their own autonomy. And like if an adult is saying to you, you know, hug granny, then and insisting on it, then, you know, and the child is sensitive. In fact, I had a call from a friend of mine who said to me he used to have nightmares about hugging his relations. He hated it. And I mean, that's, you know, it's not good enough to make a child do something like that. And as everybody is talking about, and I think that Astor framework that Ollie
mentioned.
It's so important to have that training for those people who are the preschool providers. And like we had a referendum on children, and unfortunately it was the lowest turnout in putting the rights of the child into our constitution. We really need to step up and realise that we have to be respectful of our children. We have to find other ways of teaching them than telling them what to do and being respectful of them.
This listener here agrees with you, Ellen. My mother-in-law boils my blood with the hug my friend attitude whenever we meet her and her friends in town, or the hug me now or I'll be sad, or hug me or I won't bring you a treat. For me, it's not just consent, but encouraging a child to be over familiar with strangers actually worries me, says this listener. Gary O'Keefe is on the line. Gary O'Keefe's a primary school teacher. How is consent at that, the early stages of primary school? How is that talked about, Gary, in the classroom?
Hiya. I suppose it's kind of similar to what some of the other guests have been saying there. Like, you know, it's like I think you just said a second ago, there's one of the someone who texted in saying we're raising wimpy snowflakes. I think it's the exact opposite. Like, you're giving children the language you know, and you're helping them get confident and saying, you know what, no, I don't like this. I'm just going to say that. Like, do you know what I mean? As opposed to a child just kind of scaredy doing something because an adult told them they had to. In my opinion, anyway, like, you know, I'm a primary teacher, but I also have young kids myself. I've got twins who just turned four. So that's kind of at the age where a lot of this is happening, like, you know. And I think it's really important for them to be able to realise, you know what, I'm not uncomfortable with this. And, you know, like, to be fair, with my any of their grandparents, they'll run up into their arms straight away and give them a hug. You know, when you're talking about, like, not even distant relatives, but, like, you know, a grand-aunt that they might see once or twice a year, that's effectively a stranger to them. Do you know, that you're asked to go up and, like, give them a hug and lean into them and stuff like that. And, like, you know, even as adults, there's not too many of us that, you know, if we barely saw someone or barely knew someone, we'd run up to and just give a hug and jump into their arms. Like, do you know what I mean? So, you know, it's kind of, it's hard. You can't just, you know, you kind of need to model it as opposed to just teach it as well. Like, you can't be telling them all these things that, you know, your body's yours and, you know, say no to people if you're not comfortable doing all this. And then as soon as someone arrives at the door, go up and give them a hug there now, like a good lad or a good girl, you know, that kind of way. But yeah.
It's Ellen Dunn, chairperson of the Federation of Early Childhood Providers, is with us here, Gary, on the line too. How do you feel about this, Elaine, today?
It's something that has been implemented in our the early years sector for a long time, to give the child the choice within the room to make their own decisions. It's completely child-led. And, you know, we talk about children, and children do have the rights. And when they come into preschool or into the early years sector, you're instilling that from the age that they come in. And it then supports them right up throughout their education and everything. That they know their boundaries. They know when they can say yes and when they can say no, because it's their choice. And that's something that we instill with them, thankfully, through early years educators within the sector. They're absolutely amazing at reading children. So you can read a child straight away, and you can see if the child is uncomfortable doing something and wants to go and do something else. And then it's completely freedom of choice to go and do that. There's nobody forced to come into a circle time, or nobody forced to do paintings. Do you know what I mean? Mm. It's up to the child to make those choices. And it's a wonderful way to be in a service that runs that way, because not every service across this country, you know, when you're instilling those good choices for children. And I had one little boy in my service when he first came in last year, and he was really, really anxious and nervous. And I gave him a big hug coming in the door, because he came over looking for a hug. Ever since that morning, every single day he comes in, he looks for that big bear hug. And that's his thing. And then there's other children that might come in and go, high five, Elaine, high five to my other early years educators within the room. And that's up to the child. And if some of them don't want to engage when they come in, because some of them are a little bit, they're leaving mommy or daddy and they just want to come in the door, put away their stuff and just sit down. And then they'll come over to you eventually, because you're not going over and invading their space. You're allowing them make the choice to come over to you when they're ready. And that is something that we instill going right through their lives. It's really important. And one point that Ollie made, unfortunately, we don't get paid for it. We have to do CPD all throughout the year. Wonderful CPD available. But we can't close our services. So you're putting your early years educators under massive pressure to go home in the evening time or on a Saturday and Sunday to actually do the training. You know, or else you've got to find other educators to come in and cover rooms so that we can allow our educators, you know, to do their training.
Yeah.
And it's the wrong system. We should be allowed to close for a certain amount of days a year and be paid by the service of children. You know, that's really important.
Yeah.
It happens with the Department of Education.
So and it should happen in the childcare settings as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just maybe on a final point, Ellen, you're still with us today. And I have to be honest, there's a lot of people getting in touch about this discussion this afternoon. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. One particular texter wondering, should the parents of the young children, should they too be included in these discussions if they're happening in the childcare settings?
I think it's really important to include parents. And I totally agree with Elaine and with Ollie. It is imperative that these earlier providers are given the proper supports, because it is so important. And also to include parents as well, because I think when the parents know, because parents may not be educated, and I don't mean educated in a formal sense, but may not, you know the minutiae that what goes on, as I say, stitched in every day into what the preschool provider is doing with the child. And it, you know, we all are learning all the time. So, like new parents, older parents, include them, mm-hmm. And there should be a day for parents as well. But I do think that it's time that we, as a country, should be putting more resources into early years and ensuring, because these are so important years. These are laying the foundations for the adult.
Ellen O'Malley Dunlop, Ollie Sheehan, Lisa Brady, Elaine Dunn and Gary O'Keefe, thanks a million to you all for joining us here in the programme today. If you want to share your own thoughts with us about this conversation, it's 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.